Check it out one time.
Great morning, Truth Nation. Welcome to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM, The Truth. We're broadcasting live from the American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of downtown at The Avenue. I am the legendary Home Blow, along with my bruh,
MC Dame LZ in the building.
And great morning to our producer, Will. How you doing and feeling this morning, Will?
Happy Wednesday.
All right. Dame, how you been doing and feeling, bruh?
I'm doing excellent.
Good, man.
It's a, what is it? Wednesday, right?
Yes.
It's a hump day Wednesday. So it is what it is. We're here. We're cooking.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A lot. One of the things that's going to be interesting, you know, with listening to our teammate Kyle Wallace with Truth to Power, noon to one, Monday through Friday here on The Truth, 101.7 FM. And one of the things that he had to get off the top was talking about the bipartisan deal with the Republicans and Governor Tony Evers, and where people would get a $300, you know, rebate check, so to speak.
Yeah.
And how he felt that it's a great thing. He's excited. He's happy. And he doesn't understand why some people are not so happy, or they're not just falling for the banana in the tailpipe. That's what I would call
it. The banana in the tailpipe.
Right. And I'm with the people that I'm not excited. Kyle, I'm not excited. Too many times, you know, and he, Kyle even brought up the point that, yeah, this might be, you know, them trying to, you know, save face because the elections are coming up and this, that, and the other. And I believe that's exactly what it is.
Absolutely.
You know, and oftentimes a lot of people that don't look like us feel like all they got to do is
give us some money,
give us a little crumb here, crumb there. We get excited and it's like, see, they not as bad as you thought they were. It's like, stop it. It's like so many people that another situation with Larry Hoover. And Orange Man, you know, saying, okay, all federal charges, we're going to let him out. But he got the same charges with the state. And he's got over 200 and some years with the state. So what the Orange Man may be doing is futile. But so many people are grasping it and celebrating the Orange Man like, yeah, he did it. He did it. He coming home. Unfortunately, he's not, because those state charges are still there.
Right. And so what people have to understand, and shout out to Kyle, will I accept the $300? Hell yeah. But will I let the $300 have the effect that they wish for it to have on me? Hell no.
Right.
Because what they want to do is they want to separate themselves from Trump. And in Wisconsin, they don't have the benefits of gerrymandering stuff as they do in other Trump states. Oddly enough, Wisconsin is a Republican held state, right? Except for the governor's office, you know, the houses and stuff are ran by Republicans. Again, they don't have the benefit of gerrymandering stuff. So the effects of Trump's likability, ratings, percentage, points being so low, they're scared of that coming around when it's time for them to run. And they're scared that some of these seats that they have that allow them to have control are going to get flipped. And so what do? You give people this little bit of money. This is a play Trump ran, right? When he gave people the stimmy.
Yep.
You give people a little bit of money. They'll think, oh, they're not, like you just said, they're not like Trump. They're giving us money. They're working bipartisanly with the governor when this is the only bipartisan thing they've done.
That part.
In the last 8 years, for as far as I can see.
Right.
You know, this is the only bipartisan thing they've done. This is the only bipartisan thing. I think his name is Chris Voss or something like that.
Robin Voss.
Mm-hmm. Whatever his name is. I was missing Chris Lawson and Voss because it's basically the same person. Just live more. Anyway, let's not go there. What I'm saying is this. Don't be fooled by the emperor's new clothes.
Yeah.
And that's what this
is a carrot in front of a horse.
Yeah, I'm going to take it. Kyle said send it to me. No, I'm going to take it. But that don't mean I have to do what they want me to do right. for it.
Absolutely.
They want me to forget and get amnesia.
That's it.
That this
I believe that.
That this isn't the same Republican Party in Wisconsin that stiffed Milwaukee with the 2% and made us have to go through 1,000,005 hoops to get it. And we lost control of so many different things, too many things to name
right.
for that 2%. Don't forget, this is the same people that think and talk about and say things about Milwaukee being a cesspool and Milwaukee mm-hmm. not being safe mm-hmm. and Milwaukee having, you know, being ran by idiots and things like that, right?
Right.
I can say it. People. I live here. You can't say it because you don't live here.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You coming from up north talking about someplace down south, which is Milwaukee, don't say that about us. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I say all of that to say I'm not going to forget.
Yeah.
And you won't buy my amnesia with $300.
And that's it, because that's exactly what it is. Like I say, give them a little something, and for some people that feel like they ain't never had, you know, the common saying, and they start dancing. They start doing the little, you know, juke joint dance. And all of that kind of stuff. It's like, no, stop it. Don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Again, as Dame has said, you know, the 300, okay, it ain't like, okay, don't give it to me and give it to everybody else, but it's not going to buy me. It's not going to turn me into saying they not so bad after all. I got to look at all of the things that they refused to support and they boxed the governor out on, mm-hmm. you know, to just say, oh, this one? Okay, they going to roll? No. So I'm not. So I just wanted to get my truth out on that. And Dame, I wanted you to get your truth out on that, man.
I feel exactly the same. I just feel like you can't, again, you're not going to buy my amnesia.
Right.
I'm not going to forget. And that's what they want this to do. They want this to be like, look, we worked with the governor. We're the good Republicans. Mm-hmm. We're not those down south Republicans that are gerrymandering stuff. We're not Trump that just put out 100 Truth Social tweets all on racism. Did you see that?
Yeah, man.
Where he was posting little black boys and little black girls and posting black women saying, oh, she's scheming again. The man is unhinged, right?
Man, listen.
So I'm not going to be the one that is going to have amnesia and forget that the Republicans are attacking the livelihoods and attacking everything that has been built by black people.
The Voting Act, in this country. All of that, man.
I'm not going to be that. You're not going to make me forget with $300.
That part. You know, in the news, we heard about the cruise ship with the hantavirus cases, and now, like, I think they say two of them were dropped off to Atlanta, and the other ones,
oh my God,
I think in Nebraska or something. But
and they got on planes before they, like, come on, man,
yeah.
And planes are nothing but incubators for disease.
Whatever. And it's pressurized. So mm-hmm. it's like, yep, come on, come and get it. There's now reported on May 12th on CBS 58, said there's a potential hantavirus case being investigated in Illinois, and it's not connected to the cruise ship strain.
Oh, my God.
A potential hantavirus case is being investigated in Illinois in an Illinois resident, according to state health officials. However, it is not believed to be the same deadly strain connected to the hantavirus hit cruise ship. The Illinois Department of Public Health says they're investigating the potential case in a resident of Winnebago County located near the Illinois-Wisconsin border.
Mm.
Dr. Mary Beth Graham is the medical director of infection prevention and control at Frederick Hospital and an infectious disease physician at Medical College of Wisconsin. She says a possible case like this in Illinois isn't all that unusual. The U.S. sees a few hundred cases every year. There are more than 20 different strains, all known to be carried by rodents. Dr. Graham says the case doesn't seem to be the Andy strain, which can be spread from person to person, as identified on the Dutch cruise ship. It would be highly, highly, highly unlikely, Dr. Graham said. This is just routine Hanta rodent droppings, not one that goes person to person. Listen, stop.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe.
That's what it sounds like.
Tell me that, but it ain't that. We ain't even heard of the hantavirus. I haven't. Until this cruise ship, I hadn't even heard of the Hatterville.
Well, I had heard of it, but it just from, you know, it wasn't like it was, you know, pressed on me or something. You know, you just reading something.
But it's killing something. People.
Yeah, it can. But it happens from rodents. And on that cruise ship, I'm assuming, you know, they must have had a rat infestation on the cruise ship. And it got into the food supply.
With all the illegal dumping here.
And nobody said nothing. And so, yeah.
Yeah, with all the illegal dumping here, when you see some of them trash mounds that are
that
in,
can be rat harborages.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
It could be. And you just got to think. It can happen. But like that statement said, you know, there are cases that happen throughout the year regardless.
Right.
And so it's going to happen. And that doesn't mean that when those cases happen, that it turns into some massive outbreak. What happened on the ship was just what happened on the ship. Because it was a closed confinement, closed space, that happened there. Look, we're not going to have another COVID. And if they try to make it that, and nobody going nowhere.
Hey, Dr. Sandra Bartel, before we go to break, Public Health Administrator for the Winnebago County Health Department says there is no risk to the community from this potential case. She says the affected resident is recovering. All right.
There you go. So, people get on Instagram and get on Facebook, man. And don't do that, y'all. People get on, you know, it's one in Winnebago, and that's only 100 miles away, and this and that, and it's coming. Y'all better be ready. Start drinking bleach. Mm-hmm. Man, shut up.
Yeah. You're listening to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM, The Truth. We got to take care of some bills, and we'll be black.
Is Truth in the Morning on 101.7 The Truth.
Great morning, Truth Nation. Welcome, Black. Shout out to everybody on our YouTube page. Make sure while you're there, you hit the like and subscribe button. I just want to say great morning. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. And hanging with us. We lost another giant dame in our community, and a lot of people were delivered by this man. Dr. Finlayson, Dr. William Finlayson.
A couple of generations of people.
Man, at 101 years old, he ended up passing away. The footprint, you know, that he has, and the people that you may talk to and be like, he delivered you. You know what I mean? There's so many stories of what he meant to our city and to our community. And also the fact that he was here to see when a street was named after him.
Yeah, when we shout out to my brothers at Alpha Phi Alpha Incorporated. When we started, and shout out to all the brothers that spearheaded that when they started the street naming whole process. It was a process. Because it wasn't just, you know, a block here, a block. They did a whole stretch, right? They had to go through and get all of the names and get the signatures and do all of that stuff. But when you're doing that, you realize the impact that Dr. Finlayson had on Milwaukee, because people knew who he was.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
And they were willing to allow that street renaming to take place. And the fact that it's adjacent to Vail Phillips is like showing his importance to Milwaukee, you know, in that regard. And there, what people don't understand is not only was he a doctor and he gave birth to so many kids, and he also helped families coming from the South that came to Milwaukee.
Yes, he did.
You know what I'm saying? And so he was a go-between for those getting adjusted to Milwaukee. He was that person. And if Milwaukee had like a black mayor or a black person that was the go-to person, it would be
Dr. Finlayson,
right? And so I am, like you said, very happy that he got to see his, I got pictures in my phone right now from the event. And that I was able to be a part of that,
man.
You know what I'm saying?
Man.
And have that happen. And so when we lose people like that, I think we don't realize the importance of them. Then you start looking it up And then other people start looking it up and they say, oh, he did this. Right. Oh, he did that. Because people like that don't talk about it a lot. They're not going to get on the radio. And he's obviously older, so he wasn't going to get on the podcast and rehash his stories and build his legacy that way.
Right.
The work was done.
Right.
And he let the work speak for itself. And when that happens, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his footprints are everywhere. You know, you can't go through this city and not be in his footprints.
Right.
And that's legacy. That is what, you know, legacy looks like and feels like, you know, when we think about some of the other great people who have major footprints throughout the city, a history of helping people, helping our community. Man, you know, but we all have, we are all born to die. So it's no matter how we want them to live forever, they can, but it's up to us. It's up to what me and Dame are saying right now. It's up to what he meant to you and your family.
Right.
And that's how they will forever live. You know, as long as people are still speaking your name, you know, you still exist. In a different realm, but you still exist.
Yeah.
When you give the history lessons to your children, your grandchildren, nieces and nephews, or just other family members, that is how they live. That is how people understand the importance. And oftentimes, and I know you can't, well, not to my knowledge, that you can do it like that, but I just wish, like in MPS, that we had a Milwaukee history class, you know what I mean?
Oh,
to just really understand the dynamics, and it's not just about it being black people, but there's other people, you know what I'm saying? Some of our Latino brothers and sisters, you know, that have made an impact on our city and our community. And it would be great to be able to have that put.
Well, Claiborne does something like that.
Yeah.
So is it
in MPS?
No, that's what I'm – he does.
That's where
he
I'm
does,
going.
He
yeah.
does – oh, you know they're not
going
to do it.
Right, and that's where I'm going.
He does – he goes to MPS schools when they requested to do it. So they – so, you know, they need to be more requesting of that type of information. And what happens when you get that type of information and you learn about those that are touchable and those that have been close to you – and those that you can see, like Finlayson, like Vail Phillips, like Claiborne Benson himself, you know what I'm saying? Like Pratt, like these people that have become historical figures within our areas and within our lifetime, is that you learn their stories, and then by learning their stories and what they've really done, because they don't talk about it, now you can see, oh, they did a lot.
Yeah.
And let me, if I want to have that same impact,
there you go.
This is the level I have to go to and reach, and it's building upon the building blocks of those that came before you. And if you don't know that history, you can't build upon that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the importance of Finlayson. That's the importance of those types of figures in our local government, in our local societies that have played a major impact in the building of this city that we need to know about.
Absolutely. You know, our local history. You feel what I'm saying? And like I say, the impacts even of our local history and our local heroes are actually felt around the country. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is Milwaukee has a lot of first. You feel what I'm saying? So if you think about, like, we're like a testing ground for some things now, and I'm not taking away from the innovation that all of these people that I'm speaking of now were, that those that have passed on. But I'm saying people have seen the models. We talk about the Baltimore situation where, you know, what he's doing, you know what I mean, was modeled
was in the
after
piece.
Of here, of Milwaukee. You know, so our footprint, you know what I'm saying, we are all over. We are all over, and we're having an impact, and people are looking like, wow, okay, maybe we should do this. Oh, they had a doctor that did this. Oh, they had a person that did this. And just continuing to be ahead of the curve in so many different areas. And I just think that it would be very important. We got some griots, man. You know what I'm saying?
You got to respect them and show them love. Or else when they leave, that information is gone.
Yeah, shout out to Brad Pruitt at the American Black Holocaust Museum. one of the things that he always says, you know, when I, you know, interview him, I do a live interview or something, or I'm just seeing him, he always says, "Blow, you are a griot. You are, you know what I'm saying? You're a living griot. Like the footprint that you have on this city and the things that you can be able to say, you know, to know Dr. Finlayson, to know." I love the fact that a living legend, again, is Dr. Howard Fuller with the Dr. Howard Fuller Collegiate Academy. Like, these are people that are – and then they just gave away some scholarships and stuff too as well. But these are our footprints that the world needs to know. Not, you know what I mean? They shouldn't just be contained. But at the very minimum, the people in our city, you need to know who these great people are. Right. And that's why I think it's important that we visit the America Black Holocaust Museum. We visit the America Historical Black Historical Society with Claiborne Benson over there, and just really find out the heritage and the history of Milwaukee and the movers and shakers that are really responsible for a lot of things that I think a lot of people take for granted.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
and that's the when they say you know visit. We go out of town. We go to Memphis. We go to different places to visit their civil rights museums and visit their, you know, historical sites that are nationally known. But we have them here. Mm-hmm. You know, we have, you know, Malcolm X stayed here for a minute. You know, they're putting up a marker for that. We have a lot of things that and I go back to Claiborne because when I was in, I think I was doing my master's or maybe it was undergrad. I don't know. But I did a report and I put him in there and to learn about all of the stuff that he's done. And my daughter worked there and helped transcribe a lot of the interviews from older generations and things like that. And the things that she learned and was able to relay to me and her sisters. This is important. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times we lose that information and there's a disconnect. It's the same effect as slavery. You know what I mean? Because you come from Africa. You come to America. They don't want you to speak your language. They don't want you to talk about things that you do. You are forced to have that disconnection. Now it's like we do it to ourselves, where from generation to generation, we lose that. So we're not able to build upon the shoulders and build upon the foundation that's been laid for us in the past.
Yep. We got to get ready to take care of some bills. When we return, Dame, you know, I've been seeing a lot of pothole filling. So they out here working, man. So
they gonna need a whole army brigade.
I know, but
somebody sent me something the other day. I said that,
man. I didn't feel bad when I had to move when I was headed up Fond du Lac and I saw the truck. Remember, I said no, I don't care if they say road closed, but you know we were able to get around or whatever. But we'll talk about it. There seems to be some filling going on. You're listening to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM, The Truth. We got to take care of these bills, and we'll be black.
This is Truth in the Morning on 101.7 The Truth.
Truth Nation, welcome black. I'm the legendary Home Blow, along with my brother.
MC Dame Elzy in the building.
Bruh, it is, you know, we can't bring people black. In that sense, but we've been talking about the murder of Dennis Johnson. And I believe it was on yesterday or Monday, I ended up talking about, we heard a clip where Sheriff Dr. Danita Arbaugh had said that there had been arrests made in it, but, you know, she couldn't go into any details as it related to his death and the fact that two people were arrested. Well, now those two people have been charged in that. I personally feel like a third person should be charged because they sent out the criminal complaint.
Yeah.
And when I received the criminal complaint, I was like, which story is this about? And then as I began to read, I was like, okay, this is about the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office, public safety for the courthouse officer. It was one of their people, and it was the one that got killed. And I was like, wow. So as I read that criminal complaint, I was just, you know, it angers me just with how it went down. All Dennis Johnson was doing was being a great friend or a great Samaritan to the brother Sutton. And from the criminal complaint, this seems like it was just kind of a ongoing. He was going to pick up his kids, and he asked Dennis Johnson, could he give him a ride to, you know, pick up his kids? And so, again, just to kind of show the character, and I don't know if they were, you know, best friends. I don't know if they worked together, but, you know, because it doesn't go into that. But, I mean, again, when you have somebody that asks you that, you know, I'm sure you feel comfortable with. So, yeah, he went. He didn't go over there on any drama himself. Mm-hmm. But there ended up being an argument between Mr. Sutton, Darian Sutton, and the mother, I guess, of the children. And so it started as them, you know, just kind of having a verbal spat, and then it turned into an argument. And the children then got into Dennis Johnson's Jeep. But Dennis got out and went to try to defuse the situation.
Everybody showing guns, everybody doing stuff, and he could have pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
He got out and still, because he's a CO, got out and still tried to defuse the situation.
Yeah.
And it was like the aunt's boyfriend, right? That he was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, this is the auntie's boyfriend. It's the auntie and the auntie's boyfriend. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the lack of emotional control on their part extended to the fact, and this is what I was just saying, you was just like, you're arguing about whatever you're arguing about, right? And it's probably about the kids, because that's their connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some
mm-hmm.
about the kids, something that happened when you had the kids or somebody, but you start shooting at cars with kids in them. As the car is leaving, you're shooting. And as the car pulls off, you jump in your car, pull up on the car, to the point where Brother Johnson has to tell the kids to get down.
Yeah, man. Tell them, man.
But the kids are still in the car. So this is the auntie's boyfriend that's shooting at a car with the kids in it.
Right.
How stupid is that? That just shows the fact that all of this that happens is so ridiculous that he wasn't thinking, nobody's thinking in
right.
that moment about the safety of these kids. And that's the
except
part.
Except Dennis.
Except for Dennis, because he's the only one that told him to get down. And then he's the one that's shot.
Yeah.
I know for a fact there's at least, you know, in that house, because mm-hmm. it's a duplex, right?
Mm-hmm.
10, 12, 13, 14. It's a lot of kids that stay in that house, right?
Wow. Yeah.
And you shooting with all, and they be outside.
Yeah.
And you shooting with all these kids outside. You get into this confrontation with all of these kids that not just your family members, but all these other kids that are out there, and there's no regard for that life, for those young lives. That all you're thinking about is you got your blinders on mm-hmm. and you're thinking, mm-hmm. no, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
This is what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show my anger. I'm going to shoot someone over an argument.
Mm-hmm. So Princeton Underwood is the 29-year-old who is charged with the first-degree intentional homicide. In the shooting death of Milwaukee County Courthouse Security Officer Dennis Johnson, who was 56, the second man that we're talking about that was involved in the argument or disagreement is Darian Sutton, who's 53 years old. He also faces charges connected to the case. And this is the one that was with, you know, Dennis Johnson, mm-hmm. Who asked Dennis Johnson to take him over there to pick up his kids. So in that situation, while that argument and disagreement was going on, RW, who, you know, from what you are saying, is allegedly the auntie in this situation, gestured to her boyfriend, Princeton Underwood, the 29-year-old. And he then, because they were able to go and pull and retrieve video from, you know, it's cameras everywhere. But a lot of people got rings and whatever. And then there's, you know, city cameras and whatnot, too, and businesses that have cameras as well. But they were able to pull footage of the actual shooting. And initially, after RW, which are the initials that are in the criminal complaint, gestured to her boyfriend or her man, he ended up getting out of this Yukon, the white Yukon. And because of the way the door was originally positioned, they couldn't see what he had in his right hand, but he had something in his right hand. But as they continued to watch it play out, they were able to clearly see that he had a handgun in his right hand. Now, from that, it's where Darren Sutton, the 53-year-old who was picking up his kids, ended up obviously seeing that weapon. So he then brandished a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And then shots were fired from Princeton Underwood, and then Darren Sutton also returned fire. And after that, the vehicle, Dennis Johnson, pulled off. And, you know, so again, no longer a threat, no imminent danger, you know, for either or, because Princeton didn't get hit and Darren Sutton didn't get hit. And luckily the children didn't, you know, because even that part is wild. They found over 7 casings from Princeton Underwood's gun at the pack at that particular scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and this is all information that's inside the criminal complaint. That's why I'm able to talk about it with receipts as opposed to just trying to speculate this, speculate that. So then they, Dennis Johnson, you know, pulled off and started going in an opposite direction. Princeton Underwood and RW in the truck end up making a U-turn and following them and pulled up on the side. When Dennis Johnson saw them pulling up on the side of his black Jeep, he told the children to get down. He said, get down. Because obviously he kind of knew where this was going. It's like, okay, we know he got a gun. We know that he's fired shots, but also this, and this is the reason that Darren Sutton is also charged because, you know, using a weapon and, you know, shouldn't have been, you know, using a weapon and firing shots like that. That's negligent in itself. And the guy pulled up and stretched his arm out and shot into the vehicle. The bullet ended up striking Dennis Johnson under the armpit, went through, hit his lungs, his heart, and he ended up succumbing to that gunshot wound. So it was only one gunshot.
You shoot into a car with kids in it.
Man, come on, man.
Kids in general.
Yep.
And these are supposed to be, you know, kids closely related to you,
right?
You know, and in some form or fashion, and you shoot into that car with them in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna shoot this person that's driving this car, or shoot at somebody in this car, and then this car has an accident with these kids in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People don't. We let, and this is across the board. You see it all over social media. You see it all over the news when you watch national news, when you watch more than the local news, you see this stuff, right? Where people don't think past the moment.
Right.
There's an epidemic in this country of irrational behavior where people do not think past the moment.
Because, I tell people 5 seconds. That's why I be talking about that 5 seconds can change your life for the rest of your life.
Because if you think past the moment and you're able to see at least, and I tell my kids this all the time, even, you know, my kids that came from me and those kids that I work with, you got to see the big picture. Mm-hmm. You got to, everything is like chess. Everything is, you got to see the moves. If I do this, then this person is going to do this. And I was just talking, my daughter got a, you know, multiple degrees and, you know, all of this stuff, all of them do, but you still have to tell them, if you get mad at someone, while driving, throw them the finger. You don't know who that person is.
That's right.
So now that person pull up on you, and you may have your weapon on you, and they got their weapon on them, and now it's a shootout because you gave this person the finger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And in the paper, they're going to say,
rage is at an all-time high.
Road rage because of the finger. And I'm just using that as an example, but people don't think past the moment. And if you don't think past the moment, you get tragedies like this. And that goes across the board. It's happening. Like I said, it's all over the nation. It's an epidemic, I believe.
Yep.
And an inability of us as Americans, because of whatever reason, to not think past the moment. And we talked about this the other day. It's a lack of empathy for other people,
it
right?
It is, man.
It's a lack of empathy for whatever somebody else, or how this is going to affect someone else, whatever anybody else is going through. If I go to McDonald's and I'm getting terrible service, I'm going to ask the young lady or the young man, you straight?
Mm-hmm.
Everything good? And they're going to look at me, and they're going to be like, oh, I guess I am acting a certain way. Let me straighten up. And then their attitude changes because I've shown that empathy. I've shown, hey, man, you straight?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking it personal the way you acting because you don't know me.
Right.
So there must be something that's going on. In this situation, they should have put those kids first.
Yep. But some of these people, man, they do not utilize that. You're listening to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM, The Truth. Truth Nation, we'd like to hear from you. What's your thoughts and opinions on this situation? 833-212-1017. We'll take care of these bills and we'll be black.
This is Truth in the Morning on 101.7 The Truth.
Truth Nation, join the March of Dimes this Saturday at 9 a.m. for March for Babies at Greenfield Park. Come together with the Milwaukee community to support moms and babies and be a part of something that truly matters. Hundreds have already signed up, and there's still time for you to join the walk. Every step helps support healthier pregnancies and stronger families, especially for those facing the greatest barriers to care. So grab your friends, bring the family, and show up. March for Babies is this Saturday at 9 a.m. at Greenfield Park. Sign up now at marchforbabies.org. Welcome back to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM, The Truth. I'm the legendary Home Blow, along with my brother,
MC Dame Elsie, in the building.
Shout out to our girl, Bailey Coleman.
$5,000. Shout out to my homegirl Angel. She just hit me, and she was just like, because she's listening. So shout out to her for listening. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, it would be nice to be able to say to someone you straight, but depending upon the inflection in your tone, they'll take that as a as a way of you trying to, you know, be aggressive towards them.
Right.
And I get that. I feel that. And I guess it's about the way that you say it to somebody, and then look in your eyes when you say it, like, homie, you straight? You know what I mean? You have to practice it.
Right.
I guess it's something that I've learned over the years to be able to ask somebody, not because I can be aggressive. We know that. So I can turn it off too. Like, hey, you straight, man? You know, I'm not like homie, you straight. You know what I'm saying? But I just think a lot of times we have to do that. We have to be able to step outside ourselves and be like, you okay? Is everything all right with you?
And even
those McDonald's situations that we see all over the country, those fast food things that elevate to the point where somebody's shooting at somebody from behind the counter, or they whooping on somebody. No, man, you straight? I'm not finna fight you over a burger.
Right.
Over not having the cheese on my my burger.
Right.
And I've seen people come back to McDonald's and throw the food on the counter.
Right.
And this, that, and the other. And be like, you messed up my order. I said no mayonnaise and I drove home. And it was okay.
Yeah.
And just, that meal cost you $7.
Right. And the reality, the other reality of that is when you get to destroying things inside of that fast food restaurant or wherever you at, that is criminal damage to property.
Oh, I know.
You get rid... You know, that
I know. I've been that dude at a gas station before. So I know what I speak. And see, a lot of times people be like, people talk and they just talk. If I'm talking about something.
You don't walk the walk.
I don't walk that walk in that situation. And so, and I had to deal with all of that stuff for And it could have went way worse just because I overreacted.
Yeah.
And I let somebody else get under my skin because of what they said.
Yep. And I just, all I look at is like, okay, when I'm watching some of those videos, I'm like, that's a charge. That's another charge. Those are going to be charges.
Yeah.
They went behind the counter.
They already know. That's a charge.
Right. All of these are charges just mounting up on you. And in the end, like, did it really mean anything? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you've done a lot of this, but now you could potentially have a spot on your record for the rest of your life of something that you're going to be like, you know what? It ain't worth it. Yes, I'm upset that they didn't get my order right, this, that, and the other. But again, you can come back and I just say follow the rules that you can follow as it relates to reporting it to management. Like a lot of times people don't go up the ladder. The manager's still acting as crazy or ghetto as some of the employees are. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me find out the corporate number. Let me find out, you know, how I can report this particular location. Time stamp the whole nine and report it that way instead of putting yourself in jeopardy of where now the police come into your door talking about, it's such and such here. I'm like, yeah, this me. Mm-hmm. Like, could you step outside for a minute?
Well, they actually step going? Outside. It's right.
Them silver bracelets going on. Them silver bracelets going on.
And I know.
Yeah.
They ask you step outside, it's a wrap.
So, yeah.
Call somebody and tell them come lock the door.
Yeah, so.
Just ask them. Be polite in that moment. Hey, man, let me call somebody real quick. Tell them come lock up the house.
Right.
Because I know what's going to happen. Let me lock up the house.
What's next.
And they'll let you police nice sometimes. Because there ain't no reason for them to not be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, call somebody. Tell them come lock the house.
Yeah.
Because you know what's about to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. but, you know, and then at that moment, I'm telling you, all the hindsight in the world kicks in to those people.
Yeah.
I should just let it go.
Regret is a mother.
Yep. Now I can't be late no more. And now I'm going to be late.
Listen.
I don't know how many days I'm going to be late, but I'm going to be late now.
It's the not seeing the bigger picture and not seeing the things that every action that you take and how it can start a chain of reactions.
Correct.
That can lead to something at the end of it where everybody is messed up. When we were young, we had beef with some dudes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we went to one of their house parties. And so we in the house party, we messing with their chicks and stuff. They not liking it, right? Mm-hmm. We knew what we was going to do when we went there, right? And so anyway, so we start to leave, and, you know, a couple of the chicks is leaving with us. And they're that ain't finna happen. Woo-wham.
Right.
And I'm sitting in the back, and I'm peeping scene, right? I'm seeing somebody going for their waist, and then woo. So I go get in between them like Brother Johnson did. And I'm like, this is going to go somewhere that nobody wants this to go. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And because all of my crew, we finna go. In a week, we all going to college.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all crew, a bunch of y'all going to college. Y'all doing other things. This right here can get in the way of all of that.
Correct.
And there always has to be someone in your crew, somebody around that has that foresight that can be like, look, you ain't no punk for walking away.
That's right.
Because this is living to fight another day. And then we see each other 20 years later, like, dog, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
What would have went down? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It would have been the dumbest
absolutely
thing to go down if that would have jumped off. We all grown men with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them with grandkids. Now, that would have been the dumbest thing.
Yep.
But in that moment, some of our hot-headed friends and people was ready to get it down, get it on.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's getting it in, and we all going to jail for the rest of our life, because somebody would have died.
Man. And unfortunately, that happens far too often.
Yep.
And I guarantee you, if you look at some of the shootings that have happened here in our city, some of the homicides that have happened here in our city, just a lot of the different violent acts, man. Conflict resolution just wasn't at the forefront of their mind during these situations. But, of course, then after the fact, when they sitting in the courtroom having to say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. You know what I mean? That, like, now you get it. Now you want to say, I want to apologize to the family. I want, you know, where was that remorse? Where was that before this situation happened when you could have just said, you know what, this ain't worth it. And even if you tell the person, you're not worth it. You're not worth me giving up my freedom,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not being worried about being called a punk. You're scary ass, you know, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
People tie too much into that. You know, I can live to fight another day.
Yeah. And in this situation, we lost a good Samaritan.
Yeah, bro.
Dennis Johnson sounded like he was a great dude.
Yeah, bro.
All his coworkers talk about him like he was a great dude.
Community, yeah,
and just the actions that he showed and that he was taking his homie to go get his kids. Like, man, I need a ride to get my kids. And he's like, I got you.
Yeah.
And let's go. Let's go get these kids.
Yeah.
You know what? A lot of times, though, I've had family members ask me to help them go get their kids. Nah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's volatile between you and your baby mama. And I'm not putting myself in that position. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And that's the sad tales of those types of situations. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Is that you mm-hmm. have to do that. And I'm glad that this brother went and helped his homie to go get his kids. And these are people, and I'm saying homie like they're young men. He's in his 50s. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Yeah.
Going to pick up his kids. He just want to do right by his kids. And he got to be met with all of this.
That part. You're listening to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM, The Truth. I am the legendary Homer Blow, along with my brother,
MC Dame Elsie, in the building.
We got to take care of these bills, and we'll be black.